This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Shariz Abdullah. And it is 7:07 in the morning and the business end of The Morning Run. So it is T-minus 5 hours until US tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods rise to 25%, and markets are continuing to reflect concerns over the potential impact. So the Dow Jones fell 0.5%, the S&P 500 dropped 0.3%, and the NASDAQ closed 0.4% lower.
Pretty sharp drops in the Asian markets as well. Nikkei was down almost 1%, and Hang Seng and Shanghai Composite respectively a 2.4% and 1.5% plunge in those two markets, and STI 0.5% with the normally subdued FBMK LCI down a sharp 0.9% as well.
So for some insights on global markets and reactions to the US-China trade deal, we have on the line Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Tim. So the US president has officially directed the trade representative to increase unilateral tariffs to 25% on imports from China, valued at $200 billion beginning Friday. Is this a sign that trade negotiations have completely collapsed and a rapprochement is not possible anymore?
Yeah, I think what the I think that the negotiators learned that the Chinese, with anyone who's ever negotiated in China, that negotiations don't start until right before you sign. So I think they're learning that right now. But I think it's a bold move. I think the president's serious and he's trying to leverage the strength or perceived strength of the U.S. economy to his advantage. You know, again, I think the most likely outcome of this will be they'll delay the 25% tariff or go with it. I do not think that the Chinese are going to just cave in and agree to some deal tomorrow. I think they're prepared to tough this one out if they have to.
Tim, the other issue about China is that their debt is rising really sharply. The figure that stood at the end of 2018 is just a touch under $2 trillion, and this is quite alarming. And according to a column in Bloomberg, this is going to force China to eat the humble pie and come to the negotiating table. What do you think of this debt situation in China affecting the trade talks?
Well, first, I think the debt's even more than that when you look at the government's contingent liabilities with the state and local government debt. So I think that's it. But I think what's going on with China is if you also look, they have a maybe people might not realize this, but for the past year or so, they've been running a current account deficit, and which means that now they're borrowing in foreign currency. However, they have a capital control currency, as we all know, which I think has kind of insulated that issue right now. It's certainly a problem. It's one that China thinks they can handle, you know, with the recent stimulus and so forth, and they're betting on the strength of their economy and reforms. But, you know, again, that's a powder keg, and I think that's a risk to the global markets. China thinks they probably have it contained. As many people that don't believe they have it contained, but I think the problem is very serious and more serious than people give credit for.
And Tim, Japanese yen surged to a 3-month high against the dollar as investors search for a safe haven currency, fearing the worst of this this upcoming U.S.-China trade conflict. Is the play on yen a safe option at the moment, or will it come with its own set of volatilities?
You know, I mean, the yen is, you know, we refer to it as a safe haven currency, but what it actually is an unwind of the carry trade because it's a funding currency, the yen. So when you get asset prices going down around the world, margin calls come in and so forth, and then they've got to, you know, cover the currency they borrowed in. So I'd say the same, if you're going to continue buying dollar yen or selling dollar yen, buying the yen, selling the dollar, then I think you might as well, same token, say I'm going to buy asset EM currency, I'm going to buy EM, and I'm going to buy the S&P because I think they're very correlated. But it's really driven by the carry trade. So, you know, again, it's the fate of what the equity markets are going to do. If equity markets globally go down, yen's going to go up because of the unwind of the carry trade, not because it's safe.
And thank you so much. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, weighing in on US-China as well as the Japanese yen. Now, on another front, the US is also in a standoff with North Korea. They've seized a North Korean cargo ship for allegedly violating international sanctions. Now, this is the first time the US has seized a ship in such a way and comes amid worsening relations between the two countries. Meanwhile, the South Korean military has also said that North Korea has fired two short-range missiles in its second weapons test in less than a week.
And analysts are also saying that the North is trying to increase pressure on the U.S. over its failure to make concessions. Meantime, a U.S. oil group Chevron has said that it will not increase its offer for smaller rival Anadarko Petroleum, leaving the clear path for a higher bid put forward by Occidental Petroleum.
Yeah, so they've made an offer to take over, Anadarko for $38 billion, exceeding Chevron's $33 billion bid, which was initially accepted on 12th of April. Anadarko will have to pay a break fee of $1 billion to Chevron for having abandoned their deal. Chevron intends to return the cash to its shareholder, increasing its planned share buyback from $4 billion to $5 billion.
And we actually spoke to Vincent Piazza, an analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on the significance of the Anadarko Occidental deal on Wednesday. So you can listen to it on the BFM app, available on the Apple App Store or Google Play, or on Spotify. Now, all eyes are also on Uber as it goes for its listing on the New York Stock Exchange on Friday. Now, according to sources, Uber has priced its shares at $45 at the low end of its indicated range of $44 to $50. And before it launched its IPO roadshow, Uber had said that it could price in a range of $48 to $55 a share, giving it a valuation of $90 to $100 billion. And this is according to the Financial Times.
So they have to pare back its pricing expectations, given that the markets are quite weak. And also from the poor performance of results, earnings announcement recently by their rival Lyft, who themselves were just listed recently. And the price is lower than actually 48.77 level at which it sold shares to private investors, including Saudi Arabia's public investment fund 3 years ago.
Yeah, at the same time, I think it's still the biggest IPO by proceeds for a U.S. technology since Facebook, according to that's according to Dialogic. Ride-hailing company sold is expected to sell 180 million shares, giving it a fully diluted valuation of $82.2 billion and raising $8.1 billion in new capital.
But one of the main beneficiaries from Uber's success, of course, is SoftBank, because SoftBank and its Vision Fund are the largest shareholders in Uber. Now, SoftBank itself reported stellar fourth quarter results. Their operating income more than tripled to 495 billion yen, or $4.5 billion, helped by a $3.8 billion gain on Uber. And SoftBank announced a 2-for-1 stock split along with the earnings, while it keeps the same dividend payout per share. That will effectively double the annual dividend year on year.
I'm wondering if there are a lot of shares of Uber or even Lyft in the recently listed IPO going to the drivers, because right now around the world and around, I guess, US and the UK, Uber and Lyft drivers are going on strike to demand higher pay, job security. Perhaps mm-hmm. they could get some shares as compensation.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting how Uber is different to another beneficiary of SoftBank, and also the local service provider that we have here, which is Grab. They don't just focus on ride-hailing. They have other businesses as well. And yesterday, I think they announced $500 million, perhaps raising $500 million to start looking into fintech and to raise to have a more – to invest more in their financial service industry.
And of course, we can't talk about Uber's IPO without talking about Lyft, right? Because Lyft IPO'd recently, and it only operates in the US and Canada compared to Uber's more global footprint. And they went public in March with an offering that raised $2.3 billion and valued the company at $24 billion. But since then, Lyft's shares have traded well below their IPO price of $72. And I think some investors are suing the company for an over-exaggerated IPO. And I think their shares closed on Thursday at $55.18. So after this, we'll be coming back with more local news for you. And so stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.